and we should be alive. We're all alive. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads in prayer at this time. We'll just welcome our Lord once again. Precious Lord Jesus, Lord, we just welcome you once again, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord, how it is just how it speaks to our hearts, Lord. And Lord, it's not necessarily the big, great and flashy things, Lord, that you work through, Lord, but it's just that still small voice, Lord, that, Lord, draws our hearts ever closer to you, Lord, and allows us to make those changes, Lord, that would be pleasing to you, Lord, and that lines up with your word, Lord Jesus. And we just appreciate that, Lord, that you would do that for us, Lord, and we just want to thank you and give you all the praise and all the glory and pray a blessing upon this time, Lord, as we come around your word once again, Lord, and in worship as well. We just commit all things into your hands at this time. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Shall we stand and sing? I'm pressing on the upward way.
I'm pressing on the upward way, heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up, let me stand, my faith on this unstable land.
that's in each heart this afternoon, go on with the Lord. Let's sing number 127, Have You Been to Jesus?
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace, His power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you
briefly talking about it outside, actually, along these lines. So in that moment when you realise that you can't do this, and then you realise that the only thing that's holding you is that promise and His blood, and that's the only thing you can fall back on is that His word promise that He'd wash our sins and make them as white as snow through His precious blood. And then it takes it all out of it, takes all the work out of it, and then you just serve Him with all you can, and He'll see you right through. He'll take care of the rest. Let's sing number 143. It will be worth it all. And then we'll have testimonies, unless there's an item at all.
Oh, times the day seems long, how dry your heart to bear, we're tempted to complain, to right away, oh, tears forever.
Be seated at this time. Thank you, Brother Paul. If there's any testimonies of the Lord's goodness at all.
I have a verse. I was listening to.
Thank you, Brother Paul.
While I was cooking dinner last night, and I felt it was a verse. It was a verse for this church, this body of Christ. In Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope.
Amen.
I mean, I took it for myself, but I
absolutely
sensed it was for here, not for me.
Praise the Lord. See any others? I'm from Sister Diane. Thank you, Brother Paul.
Well, my testimony is basically that scripture expressed. I've just had this bubbling in my heart and in my soul, and everything looks a much clearer shade of bright. And I just thank God that He loves me, and I love Him, and that He saved me. And I just cannot believe the blessings He's poured upon me. I feel just so filled up. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord. This morning, as I got up, I was talking to the Lord, but then I felt the presence of the Lord. I said, Lord, I didn't need time to get up. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. He's always there. You just don't always feel Him. Amen.
Well, I wasn't going to give this testimony, but I thought everyone in the Bible that who Jesus healed or delivered or helped, well, everyone except the 9 lepers, gave thanks to him. And I thought, well, I better give thanks. But about 10 days ago, I had a real attack of the enemy, and it was pretty bad. And all I could do was I called out, Jesus, really loudly. And the Lord undertook just in time. And I just praised the Lord for that. And lately there's been a verse of scripture in Romans 8:28 that I've been seeing. You know how they come up here and there. And I would quote it and I would say, all things work together for good, and so on. But recently, I thought, I haven't been reading at all. And we know that all things work together for good. And that really blessed me because it brought about an assurance. We know that all things work together for good.
Amen.
That to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So I want to just give the Lord my heartfelt thanks for undertaking for me that day.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It does get very real sometimes, doesn't it? When the devil comes in. It's one from Sister Mill.
I would like to thank the Lord for this morning. I went forward for prayer. I've had a pain in my arm, my upper arm, for a long time. I've tried everything and I haven't been able to be free of it. So I thought, well, now, Lord, you're the only one. I'll go and get anointed with oil, which I did. And I really praise God. By faith, it is gone. And I just truly thank him for it. And again, I thank the Lord so much for my husband. I really do. I can't tell you what it means to me, but I'm so grateful. He's still in that baby stage. I mean, he's still got a long way to go, as we know, but this is his fifth day today. And when I go home for him, he's just ready to lock the door and come out. I never have to ask him. He's willing to come, and he is so different to me. I can't tell you how, but, I can, but I'm not going to. But I just thank you. The Lord really did a work in his heart when he literally took him in the hospital. It was his turning point. I know without a doubt. I know without a doubt. And I'm so grateful to the Lord that he's asking questions, not Bible questions yet, but they're questions. He'll come around, and I thank you. I don't ask him when I go home. I don't ask him what he thought about the message or anything, what's been spoken. God will do that and bring him in his time. I'm keeping out of it, and I thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me undeservedly, but I truly do thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a testimony in itself. It's been 50 years that you're holding him before the Lord. There you go. And there you go. And the Lord keeps his promises, doesn't he, to his children? He'll see you through. Is there one from Brother Tatu again? Thank you, Brother Paul.
Just a word of encourage the Lord. Been put in my heart. It's in Psalm 27, right at the end. Teach me, O Lord, thy ways. Lead me in the plain path, because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto worldliness, and let me out of the world. Will false witnesses risen up against them, such as breathe out cruelty? I fainted, for as I bleed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a good thing to hold the word of the Lord before you as you go through your day. And not only that, he'll bring it to your mind. See any others? No, we'll just sing one more, and then I'll ask Brother Howard to bring the message. Number 124, Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
Thank you.
Seated. Isn't that it? Let it be. Let it be. Lord Jesus. Thank you, Brother Howard.
Praise the Lord. Good to see that sun, isn't it? I wonder if we could stand for the reading of God's word. And I want to turn the Bible to Psalm. I haven't got any of my Bible open. Psalm 34:19, which says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Isn't that beautiful? So we just pray, Lord, we just come to you this afternoon, Lord. We just pray that you will quicken your word to us and those listening with us, wherever they may be around the world, Lord, may they be blessed too. You are your own interpreter. I pray, Lord, you'll quicken it. For a few moments, Lord, we commit this word to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It says there in our reading, I take words written in the Bible you should really take notice of. They're not just put there to fill in the line. Many, not some, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And I think it's really important we speak about this for a few moments, because I'm afraid to say that quite a few Christians, especially young ones, when they first come to the Lord, they have the impression that maybe by other believers misguiding them, saying all is well, and it is well in the Lord. But they also say that you won't have another problem. When you come to the Lord, all the problems will go away. Has anyone found that? Just raise your hand. No. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Isn't that wonderful, Brother Keith? It's true, isn't it? He brings us through. Thank you, Lord. So we just want to speak about this for a few moments. You know, when we tell young people, or young Christians, I mean, you haven't got a worry in the world. Now that you've given your life to Christ, it's all going to be plain sailing. Well, we actually disarm them right there, because they have a wrong impression. The first thing they bang into as they walk outside the church is a problem. I thought that brother said all is well now, we don't have to worry about another thing. But we've got to tell the whole story. We are complete and free in the Lord Jesus Christ because He is our keeper. Let's turn to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Who loves the Word of God?
Amen.
Powerful. It's always correct too. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, you've got an enemy, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. So we've got to be vigilant, sober, wakeful, attentive, and realize what God's word says. Because your adversary, the devil, walketh as a lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I remember Brother Frank Hogan. Who remembers Brother Frank? I was talking to him the other day. He said, you see, the adversary, the devil, he's not in a hurry. He's walking about. He's just walking about. He's taking his time, seeking whom he may devour. He's not rushing around. He's looking to see, oh, this person looks very vulnerable. Look what they're doing. They don't take care. So he's seeking whom he may devour. Now, brother and sister, the Bible says that's what he's doing. So we have an adversary. It's good to know that. It's good to know that you have an enemy. It's good to know that you're not... It's all well, we're ready for heaven. Well, we are ready for heaven, but we've got an adversary on the ground. And it says here that he is after the children of God. Many believers walk into situations unaware that they are facing a trial allowed by God. We don't like to think that. We think it's all by the devil. No, it's not. God controls everything. Who believes that?
Amen.
He is a control of everything. And Job's comforters believed that God was against Job because of his afflictions. We know what happened to Job. He's full of boils and he's in a terrible mess. Not only that, he lost all his family, or most of them. Well, all his family except his wife. And he lost all his cattle, all his camels, everything was destroyed. People say, ha ha, see, God's angry with Job. You can see that God is against you because everything's turning down for your life. Everything's going haywire. Well, the Bible doesn't say that at all. God had tremendous confidence in Job. Absolute confidence. There's not a man on the earth like him, he says. God allowed it for a purpose. Because we have a little peephole into heaven. And there's the devil debating with God. Oh, Job, you're always blessing him. You've got a fence around him. No wonder he praises you. It's all right. I'll take the fence down. Go and do what you like. But don't take his life. Job never flinched. When the devil came down and brought all these things against him, he said, praise be to the Lord. But like that sister in our story this morning, all is well. All is well. And he'd lost his family and his houses and all his cattle. He's a rich man. And it came down to naught just in a day. What about you? What about me? Sometimes it's hard to understand that these things happen in our life, in our family, in our church. Now, job, whatever it is, things go haywire for no apparent reason. People say, the devil's after me. No, sometimes God wants to see what you'll do. Who trusts the Lord this afternoon?
Amen.
We've got to learn to trust in brother and sister no matter what comes. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Absolutely. He rules in the kingdoms of men. The Bible says so. So we just pray that we will be aware of these things. We cannot judge our state through circumstances like Job. Let me ask the question, why doesn't the world suffer like we suffer? Sometimes they get off scot-free. They never had the problems we have. Seems like Christians all go around feeling really bad that things are tough. Let's read in Jeremiah, just for a few moments. Jeremiah 12, verse 1. He says to the Lord, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee. Let me walk with thee in thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper?" Couldn't answer the question, asking, why is the wicked prospering? "Therefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously." They're treacherous, and yet they're happy. "Thou hast planted them, yea, they have not taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins." People can be praising the Lord on the outside. "Hallelujah, Lord, we love you, Lord." But in their heart, the reins means inside. There's nothing there. We don't want to be like that. We want to be true and faithful and honest before the Lord. So Jeremiah asked that question. So did David. If we turn to Psalm 73:2, we read, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish." David was envious at the foolish. We're going to be careful we don't get in this slot. "When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, for there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men." We judge so often from the outward appearances. It's just so unreliable. You cannot judge on outward appearances. God works from another level. In Samuel, let's read this. We all know it well. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance," looking for a king, "nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." He was a, you know, Saul was a, Eliab, was it? One of the boys. He was tall, handsome, strong. And the Lord said, don't look on his countenance. Don't look on his height. Don't look on his good looks. But I have refused it. "For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart." We can so misjudge. Don't look on the outside at people. You shouldn't even be looking at people anyway. Or at our own situation. It looks really bad, but it may be God in it all. We'll see in a minute. We've got to look from God's point of view and trust Him. It says in Isaiah 55:8, "My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord." In Proverbs 3:5, we read, we know this like the back of our hand, I do. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." Don't lean to your own understanding. It'll put you crook. "In all thy ways acknowledge him." Just acknowledge the Lord and he shall direct thy paths. Praise the Lord. Who believes that? He shall. So Job was in the perfect will of God. Job lost all his sons and daughters at the party. Big wind came down, blew it all up, blew the house down, came down and lightning or something, all sorts of judgments. All came, and in a day he lost everything, as it were. The Bible says, don't judge it by that. He was in the perfect will of God. You know why? Because we had a peephole up in heaven, what was going on. Satan said to the Lord, oh, Job, you've got your arm around him, you've got a hedge around him. He said, go on, you try him. The Lord loved Job. And everything was going wrong, losing his family, his everything. And what was happening, and the tragedy that followed, was absolutely allowed by God. So I'm saying to you and I that things can go really bad. But sometimes God allows that for a purpose. He was in the perfect will of God. You know, David's eyes saw the wicked prospering. But God said, David, come here. He couldn't understand why the wicked were prospering. God said to David, come here, I want to show you something. Let's turn to Psalm 73:16. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. He couldn't handle it, watching the wicked prosper, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou cast them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. You know, brother and sister, I just encourage you to seek the Lord. Get close to God. Don't judge the world by politicians. Don't judge the world by commentators. They're full of contradictions and mistakes. You cannot do that. You've just got to stay close to God. And He will show you their end. So Job was in the perfect will of God. And I just want to say that this life is so temporal. And Moses saw this fact. Now these people, Moses was a mighty ruler. He turned out to be, had everything at his fingertips, as it were. Let's turn to Hebrews 11:24. By faith, Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He didn't want to be in the family. He didn't want to join that group. Choosing rather to suffer. He's a mighty prophet of God. Not at this point in the sense that he knew it. But rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Moses was looking through different eyes. People say, that man's crazy. He's had the opportunity to be in the family, to be in the palace. Everything he wants, he's turned it down. And he gets amongst the mud daubers. He enjoyed treading the mud. You've seen it in the Ten Commandments. He's treading the mud. He had a revelation beyond himself that these mud daubers were God's children. And brother and sister, sometimes God may require you to tread the mud because you have a revelation above the things of this world. What if we are walking in the perfect will of God? Everybody we have mentioned today were led by the Spirit. They were. Look at Jesus, the perfect Son of God. The perfect Son of God walking straight towards Calvary. Isn't that amazing? The Son of God walking to Calvary with a cross on his back, being beaten, The Son of God. But is it the perfect will of God? You can say, oh, you know, this Jesus of Nazareth, he thought he was a mighty prophet or something. Look at him. It's all come to naught. All his disciples took off. Everyone rejected him. But he's in the perfect will of God. Who believes he was in the perfect will of God? He's in the perfect will of God for you and for your salvation. Hallelujah. And the greatest event the world was waiting for. That's what he came for. Jesus was born to die. You've seen a little lambs out in the paddock skipping around in the spring, aren't they lovely? Little tails wobbling, jumping around, innocent little fellas. But actually, those little lambs have been born to die. That's your assignment, to go on your Christmas table for Christmas dinner. Beautiful lamb, but that's what's their assignment. I just want to say Jesus knew what he was having to do, being the Lamb of God, to take away the sins of the world. He had to walk this road. Sometimes God wants you to walk a road that you don't want to walk. But it's what he wants and is ordained to do. He was in the line of duty. The whole world was against him. The church had rejected him. All the elders want nothing to do with him. As I said, his disciples had forsaken him. The whole lot took off. And strength gave way. And the Son of God fell, too weak to carry his load. How can that be God? It was. It was the greatest event in world history taking place before a world that didn't understand. We could go on about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. You don't know who Jesus is? Do you realize I've crucified him? We thought he's going to be the Son of God and he's going to conquer the Romans. They had no understanding who he was. God knows what an affliction is. He knows what an affliction is. He suffered as much as any one of you here have suffered. He was tested on all points like as we, yet without sin, the Bible says. He's had it firsthand. Jesus knows what it is. Aren't you glad he's been there? Our Lord and our Savior, our intercessor, knows exactly what it is to have a test and a trial. He knows exactly what it is. He's been there. Tested on all points like we. Can you think about that? You say, oh no, my tests are really bad. No, no, the Bible says the opposite. He is tested on all points like we are, yet without sin. Let's turn to Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest, that's our Lord, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our trials and testings, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. That's where you find it. Hebrews 4:15. You know, God manifest in the flesh of Jesus, the Son of God, needed help to carry on. What I'm trying to say, brothers and sisters, we think that, you know, we're the we go through terrible times and how are we going to make it? And yet Jesus needed help to do what he's doing. He couldn't go another step forward. A man had to come and take the cross off him and carry and walk behind him. Jesus was exhausted. We think we have hard times. He knows what that is. And the wonderful Savior we have. Wonderful mediator. Jesus was tempted and afflicted, and so will his children be. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that live will live godly in Christ will be mightily blessed and have such power. Is that what your Bible says? It doesn't say that, does it, brother? Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Just read the Bible. Read what the Word of God tells us. Then it explains so many things are happening around us. But the Lord will deliver him out of them all. Everyone. God deliver you, Paul. You believe that? Absolutely. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, by holding the galaxies together. 200 billion galaxies. That's a big housekeeping job. It's just so wonderful. And he's here in our hearts this morning, in our house. Praise be to God. He will deliver us. He promised to deliver us as we trust in him. You've just got to trust in the Lord. Don't try and work it out. This can't be right. If this is of God, why has this happened? Why has my job gone funny? Why have people said this about me? Forget it. Thank you, Lord. I'm trusting in thee, casting all my care upon you, for you careth for me. It says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Isn't that wonderful? God's not going to put you through a test that you cannot possibly handle. He promised to keep it like that. Governed. Tests are governed. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that beautiful? Who loves the Lord? Do you still love him here this afternoon? I love him with all my heart. Praise be to God. Daniel in the lion's den. That was circumstances. Just one lion I would have passed out. But he is in the midst of lions. He didn't look at the circumstances. He said, Lord, I just did what you said to do, and I've just been doing it. God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. What a wonderful experience that was. He cast all his care upon him, for he careth for him. We go on, there's many examples, those in the fiery furnace. That was circumstances, to be put into a fiery furnace, heated 7 times. But that test, he said he'd deliver them. That test turned out to be the greatest experience in their life. Why? In the flames, they fellowship with the Son of God. I don't want the trial, Lord. I can't take the trial. Listen, by you doing that, you may be stopping one of the greatest events in your life. When the trial's on, the Lord comes into the flames. He always does. He's a deliverer. He'll deliver us out of them all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Paul knew that the afflictions and infirmities were used of God to manifest the glory of God through him. I know this sounds strange to you, but this is what God says, not what I think or anyone else thinks. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, Paul says, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, that's contrary to all human thinking. I would think, you know, that the glory of God be upon me when I'm really victorious and getting through to God and feel His presence every day and everything's going great. Doesn't say that. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What brought the power of Christ? The infirmities. What's our subject? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. And it's not all bad. We think, oh, it's terrible. It's actually glorious. It's glorious. God allows it for your benefit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, people. Amen. Don't go to sleep after those lovely fish and chips. Hallelujah. May seem hard at this time, but trust God. He knows how to bless us. Let's turn to 1 Peter 1:5 before we close. Just a short word. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. Only a season. A short time that this is going to happen to you or to me. For a season, if need be, if it's needful, God determines that. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth. The trial of your faith is far greater in value than the gold price. Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who believes He's coming soon?
Amen.
What a day, brother and sister, when He comes up in that cloud. Here He comes. We'll meet Him in the air. What great joy. What an honorable thing that will be. So, brother and sister, take courage. Take courage this afternoon. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. We think, oh, that's terrible. No, it's actually glorious. Paul said it's greater value than gold. The trial of my faith being much more precious than gold that perisheth. They'll be tried with fire, like the Hebrew children, in the fiery furnace. Might be found to the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And they saw Jesus Christ in those flames. That king said, I see one standing in the midst, the fourth man, like unto the Son of God. Don't you love the Lord?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Shall we just stand to our feet for prayer? Lord Jesus, we come to Thee this afternoon. We thank You, Lord, that the trial of our faith is more precious than gold that perisheth. Lord, in our human understanding, we say, oh, how can these things be? But You said it. And Your word is always right. And it's always true, Lord. We believe what You said. We don't believe what we reason in our minds. And Lord Jesus, we know that many are the afflictions of the righteous. Your word's full of these things. It's all consistent all the way through. Help us, Lord, to be careful and to understand the word of God. Because it's helping us to understand why these things happen to us sometimes. God saying, come a little higher, I want to get closer to You. I want to get closer to You. May You bless each one here and those joining with us. We ask in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So let's sing a song. My wife's going to play it. I hope. I don't know that one. What? Here we go.
Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus daily, let me go. Higher, higher, more of grace to know.
deeper, deeper. Who says, I'll drown in here. No, no, you won't drown. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Can I have the last verse, a second last verse, Nancy? Here it is. This is what we're talking about. Deeper, deeper. Though it cost hard trials. Deeper, let me go. Rooted in the holy love of Jesus, let me fruitful grow. It's all there. Brother Taz, would you like to come and close in prayer, brother, as we sing this chorus again? Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Heart.
Father, we come and we can celebrate. Lord, when we look back on those burning bridges that we've crossed in the past, bridges of tests and trials and hard times, Lord, we can look back to those times and we can say in our hearts that those hard times were our best times. Those hard times caused us, Lord, to lean on you. To lean on the loving arms of Jesus. We learn through those hard times to put our faith and trust in you, not in ourselves. As we also, Lord, we're able to celebrate the fact, Lord Jesus, that you are up in heaven. You are at the right hand of God. You are Lord of lords and King of kings. But our Lord Jesus, you are also our great high priest up in heaven. You are ever making intercession for us. And Lord, your intercession, your mediation on our behalf will never fail. And that's why we are able to celebrate and say, Lord, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For great is he, Lord, who is in Christ, than he who is in the world. So Lord, we just praise you. We give you thanks and glory. Thank you for your word to us today. As we go deeper, deeper and deeper in our walk and in our faith with you, Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Don't forget, Tuesday night's a prayer service, 7 o'clock on the side hall. You're all welcome. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus.